Morning for the Bible. And the Bible is addressed to mankind. The angels didn't necessarily need to know what's written in the Bible. Jesus certainly didn't need to know what's written in the Bible, or have it written to him, I should say. God, the author of the Word, didn't have to have it written. The Bible came to you, and it came to me. Think about today, and as you look at the Word of God, the Bible, that it's something very special. It's a grace from God. So God would be able to say, I want you to know. I want you to come out of ignorance and out of darkness. Much effort has gone into preserving the Bible as we know it today. The Word of God was precious to men, and they hazard their lives for it. The Word of God is attacked. The Word of God is vilified. The Word of God is tried to be placed in other dimensions to hinder its power, to hinder its authority. Because God wants you and me to know. And this morning I'd like to talk about something God wants you and me to know about. And that is the power of His Christ. The power of His Jesus, our Jesus. The power that has been bestowed, placed in, and is inherent to Jesus Christ. The power of Christ for everyday living, for eternal life. The power of Christ that you and me need to overcome. The power of Christ that we need in our homes and on our jobs. The power as you will need as young people and little children, to grow and to be healthy, to be wise, to be mannerly, and to be polite. The grace and the power of God to reach down and change those things about us that need changing. The power of God to preserve us. The power of God to keep us from evil. The power of God to enlighten us that we may be lights. The power of God to give us of His savor that we may be the savor of Christ ourselves. The power of God that comes down to you and me in such a way, the power of His Christ, to radically and dynamically change us forever. To power to give us hope, to give us a smile and give us joy in our soul. The power of God to walk with us and enlighten us and encourage us. There's a scripture that I'd like to, not taking it out of context, but I'd like to borrow it would be probably a good way. There was a time when, after Christ, the darkness prevailed in earth, called paganism, if you will, dragon, it's referred to. It was probably the core of Satan himself, and he ruled in the hearts and lives and governments. And the Christ came. Church was established. The kingdom was in the earth. And through a series of times and a series of events and miraculous workings of God, there was a time when that pagan power was destroyed as an identity, and it has ceased to be the force that it was since that time. But in the 12th chapter of Revelation, in the 10th verse, a statement was made concerning this, and I'd like to use something that he said here. 12 and 10 of Revelations. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Listen to these words. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. And the power of His Christ. Thank the Lord. Now has come the power of God's Christ. Today, as we think about Christ in this context right here, Christ means, Greek, means the anointed one. And the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And John 17 and 3, he speaks about in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. For God so loved the world in John 3:16, that he gave, or he anointed, or he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus said, me and my Father are one. Jesus Christ, the anointed of God. Jesus Christ, the expressed image of God. Jesus Christ, in whom all power in heaven and earth is entrusted. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus Christ, full to the overflowing and to the extending of himself, full of grace and full of truth. Now has come a very special time in the history of the world and of the plan of salvation. And the Lord is testifying to you and me of his Spirit, by his Spirit and by his Word. Now has come. One writer said, now is the time. Jesus Christ said, and there'll be a day when the dead shall live again, and now is, speaking about the resurrection from the dead state of sin. The word Christ, as I said, means anointed. God entrusted into him. Jesus Christ said, deliver me. What shall I say? Deliver me? Ah, but for this cause came I into the world. And he went on then to say, through me and my life and my death and my resurrection, glorify thy name. This morning, God wants us to know. And he said it this way, the power of his Christ. This morning, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How did that happen? By the power of the regenerative blood of Jesus Christ. It happened because of Christ and his power, his extending of himself. He said, now has come salvation. That means to rescue. Every one of us needed rescued from the prison house of sin. Every man took his step into the kingdom of darkness. Every one of us needed to be translated out. The only means and the only way, the only possible avenue of escape was through Jesus Christ and his power, his victory. It means safety. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord from sin safely hid away? This morning, there's a safe retreat. There's a high tower, the power of God's Christ, that the righteous may run into and be safe this morning. You and me do not have to fear living. We do not have to fear living for God. We do not have to fear the temptations of life. We do not have to fear sickness. We do not have to fear the valley of death. There's a tower, a high tower, and God is that tower. Christ is that tower that the righteous can run into and be safe through the power of God's Christ. You know, when we begin to think about the power that's in Christ, and we're going to try to touch on some of that this morning, can't in no way speak of it all, even read of it all this morning. But may it excite us to recognize now is come the power of God's Christ, the authority of the Messiah, the Anointed One. This word salvation means, of course, to save, and it means to deliver, translate out of, into something better, deliver from the haunts of sin, deliver from those places that make us miserable, deliver us from those habits of the flesh, deliver us from those things that accuse us before God. Deliver us from practices of the flesh that are an insult to righteousness. Now is come salvation. Praise the Lord this morning. Song we don't hear much anymore. Salvation has come down. It's no longer a promise of Isaiah, but now it is a reality of the power of God's Christ. Salvation has come down for every one of us. Now, God wants us to know that and believe that God wants us to experience that. God wants us to rejoice in that. God wants us to be happy and secure in that. And strength. Now has come strength. This word strength means force. This word in the Greek means a miraculous power. And that's what it took, did it not? How many of us have tried to change ourselves and found we were inadequate to do that? How many of us tried or wanted to quit sinning, but yet we found ourselves captive? How many of us here today have found our insufficiency to change habits? How many of us today has found, I know I should forgive, but I can't? Now has come strength. Now has come authority. Now has come power through Jesus Christ that I can forgive. I can forget. I can put behind me. I can rise above the insults of life and my own disappointments. Now I have strength from the power of God's Christ to rise above habits that have plagued me. Now has come strength, force, miraculous power, and mighty work. Thank the Lord today for that. That God wants to work a mighty work in us. God wants to do something for us through Christ greater than we could ever hope, expect, or believe. God has something greater than we could comprehend. God has that treasure. God has that secret of the hidden treasure, and He wants to place it in our hearts today. This has come. This is not to come. This is not a millennial reign message. This is not a message of some golden era in the church of God. This is today. This is salvation has come down and strength in the power of God's Christ. And this word power that He talks about. In the Greek here today, it means authority. The right of expression of my rights, my authority, through Jesus Christ. It means to the capacity and the freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. This morning we are blessed. And God wants us to know that. God wants us to know and understand the power of His Christ. The power of the blood. The power of the resurrection. The power of a message of the Holy Spirit sent back from Christ to you and to me. And it's up to us to receive it. And it's up to us to believe it. The thing that kept the children of Israel out of the quote-unquote promised land was one thing. It was unbelief. It wasn't that the land was not pleasant. It wasn't that God had not already demonstrated Himself more than capable of delivering them. It was not that they needed a place and wanted it. But it was simply, and not so simply, but simply because they would not believe. This power of God through Christ has come down, sent to us, given to us, and in some ways entrusted to us. Now, Lord, help you and me to believe that report and to accept it and to bring it in. Because He said this, as many as who do receive it or believe it or accept it, John 1:17, right in there somewhere, He said, to them who received it, the promise, the written word, He gave the power, the right, the privilege, and the authority to become sons of God. Even to those who believe on His name. So now has come, see. It's not for an era, as I said earlier, not for an era to come. But it is now for us today. Let you and me embrace it. Let's embrace it in our homes. Let's embrace it in the congregation. Let's embrace it as an individual. Let's embrace it as a family. Let's embrace it as the people of God. Now, the power of God's Christ has come down. And it's for us. And you and me can go forth now conquering. You and me can go forth with authority. You and me can go forth unafraid. You and me can go forth trusting. Because it's not I, it's not you, but it's Christ that liveth in us. It's Christ that dwells and reigns. It's Christ who was slain, and it's Christ who is risen again. It is Christ, the eternal Word of God, taking up His abode through the Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, taking up their abode in us, giving us power and authority. It took the power of the blood and the holiness and the righteousness and the innocency of Christ, suffered as a lamb, as a sinner, thrust out of the camp to purchase for us this wonderful salvation. Now God said, I've given it to you. It's the gift. It is the gift. It is not something that in any way is anything but a gift. Now let you and me receive it. Let you and me be empowered by the power of God's Christ. In Matthew 22 and 29, God wants us to know. And He speaks here of ignorance. Matthew 22 and 29. Asking questions about what was to happen someday in heaven. But Jesus said this in 22 and 29 of Matthew. Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. You do err. Ignorance is not a pleasant thing. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brother. The Lord did not want us ignorant of Him. We were quite ignorant. Quite. So He didn't have to do anything. We were ignorant. He did not have to come and say, well, I'm going to make them ignorant. We were ignorant. He didn't have to stay in heaven and say, well, if I stay here, they'll be ignorant. We were already ignorant. But Christ came a light unto the world, signifying that He wants us to come forth to know and understand the power of God's Christ, that we might understand what is offered to us. And He said, you do err. You don't understand the Scriptures on a specific thing He was talking about here. But we need to take this little Scripture and apply it to you and to me. We do err when we do not know the Scriptures. Do we understand, and maybe we don't fully, the handicap and the liability we place on ourselves through ignorance of the Scripture? These are those things that testify of Christ. And Christ is the power of God. These are the written words that testify of the promises, the power, and the authority granted to us, of the hope, of the deliverance, of the safety, and of the salvation. When we become willingly ignorant, that is a gross sin before God. To willingly have presented to us truth that is so available, truth that is so handy, truth that is right there before our eyes, and we neglect that in not knowing the Scriptures and being ignorant of God's Word, we place on ourselves a jeopardy and a great handicap. Jesus said that you're erring. You're making a very critical mistake. And you don't understand the power of God. To me, one goes with the other. To boycott the Word, to boycott being a student of the Bible, is to also say, I do not want, need, or understand or the power of God. So may God help us this morning. There's gross ignorance. There's gross error then. And there's gross error and ignorance today. Ignorance is shaped by the indifference of man. I cannot speak for other eras, but to me, there seems to be a critical indifference to God in the world today. An indifference to His existence. An indifference to His authority, an indifference to our need of Him, an indifference of the authority of the Word of God. May God help us today. This ignorance is shaped by false prophets, by teachings and creeds and philosophies of man, by the so-called intelligence of man, who has begun to actually worship the creature more than the Creator. Worship the mind and the intellect of man greater than the one who created the intellect and created the mind. A gross, gross error is being made today. People are raising up themselves, little groups here and big groups there, and having a testimony of God. But what did Paul say? Denying the power thereof. Denying the authority of God. Denying the right of God. Denying the capacity of God. In other words, denying His authority in one's life. Denying the capacity to lead us into all truth. Denying the capacity to absolutely set us free from sin. Having a form, having a word, having a testimony, but not knowing and denying the power of Jesus Christ. God wants us to know, folks. He wants us to understand. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about Jesus Christ being the power of God. Jesus Christ, the power of God. You think about that. All power in heaven is given unto me in heaven and earth. The very power and authority of God is in Jesus Christ. And yet people run from Him. They ignore Him. They crucify Him. May God help us not to do that. Help us to be so thankful that we can know Christ, the power of His resurrection in our life. Christ, it said in that same verse, 1:24 of 1 Corinthians, He's the power of God, and He is the wisdom of God. Thank God. It pleased God. It pleased God to send Jesus Christ. And He laid on Him the sins and iniquities of us all, Isaiah writes. God is so much wiser. And people look upon Jesus today, as He did then, as a stumbling block, as a rock of offense. But He talked about people that did believe, people who would accept, people who would enter into Christ, that we would not be ashamed, that we would not be confounded. This morning, God does not want confounded people, ashamed people, men and women bumping into the obstacles of life and getting bruised and hurt and scarred and injured. No, indeed, the Lord wants a people that's bright and alert and conscious of His presence every day in their life. God wants us to know the power of His Christ. I want to look a little bit at some of the things that the power of Christ did. We've already said that all power, Jesus said, in heaven and earth is given to Him. So, I don't understand all power. I really don't. It's too great for me. But I look at it this way. Everything that will ever present itself to me that I need power over, all power is in Jesus Christ. I don't know the extent of all power. I look at the earth, I look at the stars, I look at life, I look at eternity. Surely that's vast power to do all that. And I'm not even sure that can adequately comprehend the power. But I can bring it down to me, and you can bring it down to yourself. When you're in trouble, when you have a need, all power over every situation has been entrusted in Jesus Christ, and that power is there for you. And the Lord wants us to use it. And God wants it indwelled in us. He told them in Tarry in Jerusalem. I want to endue you with power and authority from on high. Jesus Christ came with power to establish the kingdom of God forever. To establish a kingdom that would never be moved nor left to other people. There were great men of God. There was Moses. There was Joshua. There were Abraham. There were men all down through the annals of time that were valiant men for God. Yet they in themselves lacked the power to establish a kingdom. And it was David that was able to establish a kingdom that would endure forever. A kingdom that would not by right of death have to be left to someone else. Jesus Christ had the authority to come into this earth and build and establish His church, the kingdom of God, not be left to other people, the gates of hell not prevail against it. It would be a victorious church, a triumphant church, a church above all the hills and the valleys of life, denominationalism of man, a kingdom that shall evermore endure underneath of the everlasting arms of God. Jesus Christ, whom all power in heaven and earth is granted to, He had the authority to establish the kingdom of God. He had so much authority, He became the foundation of it. He became the stone that the builders rejected. He became the rock out of which we are hewn. He became the very foundation of the kingdom. That's how much power He has. This kingdom that we are so thankful for today, the church of the living God, the body of Christ, it exists because of the power of the Christ of God. It exists because Jesus is. It exists because Jesus came and became the foundation. The power of God's Christ. That's how powerful He is. To establish a kingdom that shall never be moved, shall not be left to others, and whose truth endureth forever. He said of the kingdom of God, Paul did in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Oh, thank the Lord. I did not realize till I began to study that thought how many times the word power in a positive sense is mentioned in just the New Testament. The majority of the time, just the vast majority of the time, it's listed and spoken of in a positive way. And it's always generally attributed back to the Father and to His Son, Jesus Christ. A lot of times, people through boasting, and people through their own ingenuity and praise of men, seem to have garnered accolades and raised up various things. But there's no power to deliver and break the hold that Satan has on men's life. Jesus Christ came not only with, I know He said it not in word, but Jesus came not only teaching and preaching, but He established with power the kingdom of God. And then He invites us into it. Praise God for that this morning. When Jesus was being announced to Mary, Matthew 1:21, He said to Mary, the angel did, you call His name Jesus, which is Savior. He shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Thank God this morning that Jesus Christ is able not only to have pity for us, not only understand our need, but able to save us from our sins, to take us out of them, to bring us forth into a wealthy place, into a large room. Talking now about the power of the men entrusted in Christ. He's able to save. I believe it was one of the letter writers said, to the uttermost, those who come to God by Christ. He's able to save us beyond any idea that man ever had. He's able to create a new heart, new spirit. He's able to cause old things to pass away, able to save to the uttermost, and cause all things in Christ to become new. This is the power that is in Christ, part of it. He said in John 1 and 1 John 1 and 3, or 3 and 8 or something like that, said, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Power to destroy Satan's working in our hearts. The power to destroy Satan trying to work in a congregation. The power of God to dispel the lies that Satan puts in our minds and our emotions and spirits. The power of God to break down the walls that Satan builds up, the barriers to holiness that he tries to erect. Destroyed. Jesus said, when the 70 came back, he said, "I beheld something. I beheld Satan, an old devil, the opposer, the accuser, the adversary. I saw him as lightning fall." Think of a flash of lightning and the grandeur and the splendor and the awe and the fear and the energy that's in it. It took great power to dethrone Satan. And Jesus saw him fall. Wham! And Jesus Christ is the one who destroyed it. The power of God to destroy. The power of God to destroy the works of the devil was entrusted in Jesus Christ. The power of God's Christ. Another thought. Matthew 9 and 6. We might read that one. Matthew 9 and 6. This is Christ again speaking and healing a palsied man, I believe. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin." He said to that man sick of the palsy, "Rise up, walk." Right there, the power of Christ was demonstrated to forgive sin. Thank God for that. Thank God for Him wanting to forgive. Listen to us today. Listen to God today. If any of us sense we need to be forgiven of God, here's the good news. Jesus can do it. And Jesus wants to do it. And Jesus died for you and me that He might be a Savior of the world. He wants to forgive us. Sometimes humans don't want to forgive because it gives us this false security of power and authority over another individual. Note I said false. Jesus Christ wants to forgive us. Regardless of what we may have done, thoughts or actions, things that we didn't do that we should have done. The good news is Jesus wants to forgive. That's part of His power. He can do it. And it has eternal consequences. It's not just like, "I'll forget about it." No. His forgiveness stands at the throne of God as a witness to us and makes us accepted. How? In the Beloved. The power to be accepted by God through the forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ is mighty. Jesus Christ is powerful. Luke 4, 34 and 36. Maybe just jot that down. I won't go there. It's in Luke 4, 34 through 36. Unclean spirits, they marveled. They had seen the works of unclean spirits, the treachery, the uncleanness of it. Here come one with power over unclean spirits. What is this? This morning, Jesus Christ, the power of God. that you and me and mankind may be delivered from the filth and the uncleanness of the dark kingdom of the devil. Of all this uncleanness that is proliferated today, you and me might be clean. You and I might be whole. Whole. Thank God this morning for that. Thank God that there's power in Jesus Christ, the anointed of God, to deliver from unclean spirits. Then and now and wherever they're found. Well, let's go on. John 10 and 17. John 10 and 17. This got Jesus in a little bit of trouble. 10 and 17 of John. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Wow. Think about it, folks. Think about it. You have the power to take your life. God forbid that any of us would. You have that authority. But you cannot raise yourself out of that grave. Jesus Christ had the power. He had, I think in this case, the authority, the right, the commission from God to go to the cross. But that wasn't all he had power over. A man could dedicate himself to the cross. But a man cannot raise himself out of a cold, dark tomb. And Jesus Christ had power to do that. The power of God's Christ. Well, time's getting away, but I want us to look at this. Because I have a point that we want to end with here in a moment. Jesus said to Mary and to Martha that he was, I am the resurrection. The power of the hope of the resurrection is in Jesus Christ. The hope of that old grave, whoosh, being opened is in Jesus Christ. That hope of the saints and God and the angel Christ and the angels descending with a shout is in Jesus Christ. That hope that we have that there will be a heaven itself and a eternity with God with a new body is in Jesus Christ. I am, he said, the resurrection. Jesus Christ, the power of God, the authority of God. In John 17 and 2, let's read what he said here. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus Christ had a power over all flesh. Adam, the first Adam, died. David died. Moses died. And their bones, if we knew where to go, are still there somewhere. Jesus Christ, the first fruit of the resurrection. Jesus Christ that had power to take his life back up again. Jesus Christ who has the power to give eternal life to every one of us. Power, power, misunderstood and ignored to some degree. But to those who believe, it's ours. Given to us that we might have a hope, that we might believe, that we might be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, and I know you can think of more, but I want to go now to Ephesians 1 and 18. Please think, meditate. Let God expand us this morning in our thinking of power and might and authority and the grandeur of the Son of God and Jesus Christ, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, His ascension. All power, everything, Jesus Christ is in Christ. Now listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians 1 and 18. Paul said he was making mention of the Ephesians in his is prayers. We'll start at 17th verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in Christ, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the workings of His mighty power. This is where I want you and me to think about, and God help us to get a hold of it. Think of this concentration of power that's in Jesus Christ this morning. Think about it. Think about the power that's in the sun, and then you take the magnifying glass and focus that energy into a blade of grass or a piece of paper or the back of your hand. Ouch! Wow! Get your attention real quick. The concentrated power of God is in Jesus Christ. And listen to what Paul said. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us? Think about it. All that He is, He became man and dwelt among us, that we might behold His glory, that we might be a part of that glory. All this power, all that He is to us in Jesus Christ. God extended Himself through His Son. In extending Himself through His Son to us, He extended His power, His authority. That we might understand that we don't have to come behind in any gift. We don't have to be servants and slaves of the devil. That we can rise above human emotions and the frailties of the flesh. That you and me not have to live in any uncleanness. That you and me might have the power of the resurrection living in us. The hope of the resurrection stirring us and encouraging us. It's to us, to us, to us, to us. Oh, it's to you, and it's to you, and to you, and it's to me. May we comprehend God doesn't want us ignorant. God wants us to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. That we might understand the things that are freely given to us of God. A large and a wonderful outpouring from the window of heaven by God Himself. That we might understand the things that are freely given to us. The things that are God to us. All of this that God is, He already had it, folks. He always will have it. We didn't. We didn't. And today without Christ, we don't. And perhaps even with Christ, we don't. In the fullness. Surely we've been delivered from sin if we're saved. But yet we might still be in an ignorant state of, I don't have to yield myself. I do not have to live in that chaotic state. I can be a good father, a good mother. I can be a good teenager. I can have purpose in my life. I do not have to be as a wave, a ship, a chip on the ocean. I do not have to be tossed about here and there. No, I can have direction and hope and power in my life. As a Christian, I can be more than a conqueror. As a Christian, I don't have to yield to those insults and those embarrassments of life. Thank God that He wants you and me, and first in Colossians 1 and 11, that we be strengthened with all might, I believe He said, in the inner man, according to His glorious power. This power to us now, to strengthen us. This power to us, to enable us to stand, to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. This fight of this glorious power extended to us, to strengthen us on the inside where the essence of life really are. That you and me might be more than a conqueror. That we not have to yield to any foe. And as I said in Colossians 1:11, according to His glorious power. He entrusts us with that. He wants to give that to us through His grace. The last scripture then is to me and you again. Consider what we've said. Consider the power that we've tried feebly to describe, that God manifested in Christ and revealed to us through His Word. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yes, amen. May we today be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Not in our power, not in our resolve, not in our goodwill, but in the power of Christ, living in us, reigning in us, strengthening in us. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on. Don't pass by something and say, I don't need that, or I don't understand that. If it's there and it's part of the armor, take it with you. One songwriter said, take the name of Jesus with you. Take it. Take it. If it's from Christ, accept it and take it, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I know this morning we each one want to do that, or we wouldn't be here probably. We want to stand. We want to be faithful. And sometimes, some to themselves prove they're less than where they want to be. God wants you and me to abandon our strength, abandon our weakness, and put on the power of God. God wants Christ in our hearts to reign in us and to live in us. So Paul said, finally, brethren, he appeals to us, and God appeals to us today. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. He will strengthen us, and He will enable us to stand. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. You pray for me.